Quiet on the set. Can we please have quiet on the set?
Awesome!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
Good evening. Welcome, Brian Noonan with you on 720 WGN, firmly ensconced, as always, in the Allstate Showcase Studio on beautiful Michigan
Avenue.
We're
literally not in the Showcase Studio on beautiful Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, and this I don't think this is WGN 720. It's WGN Plus.
It is WGN Plus.
I am still Brian Noonan. You are still Cody Goff.
Technically, those things are all true, yes.
Those are true. We like to start out with facts, and then we weave into falsehoods much later in the podcast. That's what this is, right?
Is that what we like to start out with? And, you know, with all our experience that we've had?
I think we should start out with truth before we go into lies. Because most of what we will talk about on this podcast will veer into lies or exaggeration at some point.
That's true. This podcast doesn't even have a name yet.
I know. This is very strange. And if you're joining us, welcome. Thank you for coming to the digital space. I am uncomfortable. Digital is much more cramped than over the air. I don't have as many watts. I'm not clear channel. I'm digitally compressed.
It's okay. You'll actually learn that there's much more freedom because
we
don't have to talk about anything.
But I can swear?
Well, no, but...
there is no freedom.
We can talk about nothing. We can really do a Seinfeld podcast.
That's what the show has been for almost 10 years.
But really talk about nothing. Like, podcasting is where celebrities go to talk for 15 minutes about where they shop for shoes or what kind of hair gel they have.
I don't know what either one of those mean. I get shoes. I have shoes. I'm not a hillbilly.
Well, they're things that would never happen on like a radio program, right? I mean,
our radio program. That's the beauty. That's why we figured we would be able to do a podcast for you while we're preempted by the Blackhawks for the next couple months. Because if you're used to listening to podcasts about nothing, and you're used to listening to our show, this is the perfect melding of the two mediums. Would you agree?
I would totally agree.
And Cody is getting to step up. So now we are equals. We're both major contributors to the podcast.
I'm riding on your coattails to fame.
I don't believe that.
But also doing all the producing work. So
that's how it should be. Somebody's got to do the grunt work, and somebody brings the star power. And I think we know which side each of us are on.
We both cash in from each other's...
We benefit from each other. It's a mutually beneficial arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be fair to say?
I'm benefited.
All right, so... This episode, because you're a podcast guy, you have your Game of Thrones pod. No, it's your gamers
pod. Game podcast.
Your video game. Unqualified Gamers is your video game podcast.
So no, it's not that anymore.
What?
We just announced. We did a last episode.
See, I should have listened to one.
Well, why do you think I call my podcast Unqualified Gamers? Because I would say things like that were just patently untrue and totally get away with it. And just pass it off on the name. Oh, well, we're unqualified gamers, so I don't have to know what I'm talking about.
All right.
It was great.
So what's it called now?
We just finished our series finale after four or 5 years of doing it, and now we're Game Life Balance.
Oh,
so
okay.
We're launching in January, and we'll be on WGN Plus.
Very much. And that's where we are now.
That's
is
where
that
we
correct?
Are now. Well, okay. Physically, we're in Tribune Tower.
I know that.
We're in.
I'm not touched.
We're in.
I understand.
A studio with WGN Radio mic flag. You know, these mic flags used to say WGN Plus. They actually did.
I know they did.
I was in here like a month ago recording with a guest, and they were WGN Plus. So I. Now
well,
I don't...
because they use this studio for actual radio stuff.
Well, now I don't know where we
Nick
are.
Nick does his show from up here, and I think sometimes Patty does her show from up here.
Well, I don't blame them. It's spotless.
It's very nice. That's because nobody uses it.
It's the cleanest room in the station.
Well, it used to be on TV when the game was here.
Yeah, that's...
So they had they had to make it look nice for TV.
Oh, we're already dropping into WGN history.
Listen, that's what the first episode you told me is about is supposed to be. We're supposed to... know that people that have listened to the show for a long time are hopefully going to download and listen to this podcast. But then we have to welcome new people who are podcast aficionados who might see the title of this podcast if we ever get one. And then it will catch their attention and they'll want to know, hey, who are these guys? What's their deal? Why did they play the Miz theme to start this unnamed podcast? There's so many questions. And we're not going to be here for hours and hours because you told me that's not what podcasts are about.
We could.
Sure, we could. We could. You told me there's freedom, too. We could do whatever we want.
We could do whatever we want.
Who wants to do a 9-hour podcast, though?
Well.
For free.
Who wants to listen to it?
Shut-ins. convicts.
Wait, this is for free? I thought you were paying me.
Yeah, it's mutually beneficial. I don't know. You know, I'll get you a diet pop.
Perfect.
So, all right. So where do you want to go first? Should we try to figure out a name? Should we tell people who we are? I guess people would want to know who we are if they don't know who we are.
We can figure out the name later. But and a lot of people are probably going to know you because you're Maybe. Brian Noonan of WGN Radio.
I am Brian Noonan of WGN Radio. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people know you as Cody, the producer of the Brian Noonan Show.
That's true.
Because you have been, unlike a lot of producers who just sit behind the glass and say things into their host's ear, you actually have been an integral part of the program since you joined the program back in the day. And in the day, that was what, 2009?
Yeah, 2008.
So you, because if you don't know the history of me here, I started doing overnights on the weekends. So back then, the sales department did not really care about the overnights. It had been recorded programming before that, so there were no commercials. We had to create, we being me, had to create a four-hour program with no real breaks except for a couple minutes of news at the top and a couple minutes of news at the bottom of the hour. So I was lucky enough to be surrounded by a crew of really talented people between news people and then some of my various producers who went on to become big parts of the show. Which you did. So I think people know who you are.
Well, that's why I wanted to go in the history of the podcast, because it's not necessarily, or it hasn't historically been really normal for a producer to be on air a whole lot. There are some producers you never hear from.
Right,
ever.
Exactly.
So, you know, it always depends on the host and the show and things like that. But I think it's nice to give our listeners, and even longtime listeners of the program don't necessarily know that you've been on to it since 2006.
Yeah.
But I joined in 2008, so I've actually been here longer than any part-time producer.
Right. It seems odd because a lot of, the part-time producers, some of them have gotten promoted to full-time, and most have just gone.
Actually, I lied. Lindsay Liu's producer.
Yeah. But Lindsay, yeah, I think that's, you know, her choice. She just wanted to work with Lou. And so she's been here a long time.
Right, right.
Without moving, you know, without turning into a full-time producer.
Right. So there's been a couple, but there's so many callbacks that we'll occasionally reference on air to what we used to do. And
right.
So much, there's like a lot of history with us and WGN that like people probably don't know a lot about.
Exactly.
So this is your life.
Is this it? Is this the getting to know you? This is our first date, our first digital date where it's like Tinder for podcasts. People are swiping through all the titles. We want them to swipe right for us. Then we'll go out and do something, you know, horrible in a bathroom.
Wait, what?
Isn't that what you do on Tinder? You pick somebody up and you...
I never
knock
did.
Around in a toilet.
I don't think I knocked people around in toilets right. when I was on Tinder.
Well, see, I'm so out of the game. When I was dating, we didn't have Tinder.
Which isn't to say that I wouldn't have liked to have.
Sure.
I mean, whose goal isn't it to just knock around? What is it? Not
knock
what,
around.
Just swim around in the bowl.
No, you're just you're banging around in a toilet.
That's what you do.
You just bang around in a toilet.
That's good. So, I don't know how much history we don't want to like get in the nitty gritty of like, well, I started on August 8th, 2008.
It was a cool evening when I first strolled up the stairs down from the loading dock.
Yeah,
right.
I don't want to get into that.
But in general, you started in 2006. I came on 2008.
Right.
I actually left for like 8 months because I was an angsty early 20s.
Yeah, you were going to... And it was a weird way that you left. You just left. You didn't give any notice. You just up and left.
No, it was a terrible way that I left. It was the worst. I
just bailed.
Basically. I briefly apologized for this on air, but behind the scenes, it was like, yeah, no, like I was like 22 or 23.
Yeah.
And I'd been with the show for a while, and I just didn't feel like getting yelled at for coming in late, which, to be fair, I still do.
Right.
And I some other job opportunities came up, and I just all these things happened.
And you were pursuing acting.
I was
things,
pursuing
and
acting,
you, you know,
right?
Then you went on to your film career.
Yeah, my illustrious
Dance,
film
Dance Revolution.
Career.
See, we'll get into that at some point.
See, these are references right. that people should know. There's a couple reference points that we just constantly bring up, like Dance Dance Revolution or
the
like
Warrior's Path.
Yes, or Halloween Frankenstein trivia. Things like that that people need to be aware of. And so, I bailed. Like, I emailed the program director at the time, copied you.
Yeah.
And was just like, hey, by the way, Friday is my last day or something like that. And
yeah, it was weird.
But I didn't. I undervalued the relationship we'd built.
Yeah.
For some reason, I just assumed you didn't like me that much or something. And I just kind of like.
Maybe because I always told you I don't like you. That was probably it. I know every weekend you would come in. I go, listen, I'm glad you're here, but I don't like you.
It's weird the way you said that. Most people don't do that.
I like to be upfront.
Yeah.
Like I said, I start out with honesty. Then I veer into lies.
Yeah, well, then like 6 or 7 months later, I decided I was being an idiot and right. I missed the show. So I shot you an email and I was literally just like, can I take you to dinner? And we went out to dinner and I...
And you brought your girlfriend at the time, which was another odd...
why not?
Odd, like, business move.
Everybody likes to meet you. You're famous.
I'm sorry.
You've been doing the morning show all week.
Oh, I'm a big, big deal.
Tens of people know who you are.
I know. And all 10 of them came to dinner with you that night. Because I don't know if you were nervous that I was going to lash out. But yeah, so we had this dinner. And at that point, Christy, who was my very first producer here and who produced for me for a long time and then ended up coming back at one point, she was getting married, I think, or she was leaving because she had come back for the second time.
Yeah.
And she had said she'd come back as a favor because... Another producer, Lindsay, who had been with me for a while, she was leaving to go on to work in Atlanta at CNN. And so Christy had come back in the interim because you had bailed. And Christy was getting ready to leave because she had told me I can come back for X amount of time. And so we had this this dinner and, you know, I thought the dinner went well, obviously. So I asked you if you wanted to come back and you did. So
it was back. It was the craziest timing. It was so weird.
Yeah.
Because my intent, honestly, for that peace offering was to just be like, oh, yeah, if you need a fill-in, I'm around or whatever, yeah. You know, sorry, I kind of just abruptly walked out on the show. And then you're like, well, actually, Christy's leaving, so I need a full-time producer. I mean, full-time, part-time.
Right.
And literally 2 weeks
yeah,
later,
was
back. It was like boom.
Well, you were always... I liked having you around. You're funny. You get what the show is about. That's the most important thing. A lot of people don't understand... For a host and producer to be successful, the producer has to get what the host wants to do. And I've been fortunate enough to have you and Christy and Lindsay all get what I wanted to do. And so it's been easy to build that. Plus your production, you got mad production skills.
Well, thank you. I don't exercise them.
No, you don't. And that's, you know, a bone of contention. But listen.
Look, I would have had an intro to this podcast ready.
But we don't have a name.
We had a name.
If you come back for episode 2 of the unnamed Brian and Cody podcast, which maybe we just keep that as
the unnamed
Brian and Cody podcast, maybe you'll hear some of the fine production work.
Well, we can brainstorm some of that later.
Yeah. So you came back, and then at that point, you were just doing Friday nights, correct?
I think...
The second time did you come back, you were doing both nights.
I think because at that point, because when I started, I was Friday and Lindsay was Saturday.
Right.
Then we both left around the same time, and Christy did both. So when I came back, I resumed both.
Both.
So I was spending 10 hours a weekend with you.
Right on.
Because our Sunday show became 11 p.m. to 5 a.m.
Yeah, it was... They don't do... Steve and Johnny used to do a six-hour show. During the week.
5 days a week.
And yeah, and that's crazy. And we would do 11 to 6 or 11 to 5 rather, and it was just content, basically. Just doing stuff.
Yeah.
Coming up with stories and bits and talking and, you know, and the audience from the time you started to the time the overnights ended, the audience built up, which we were very grateful for, and there were people who third shifters and people who got off servers and bartenders and bands and all these things.
Truck drivers. Security guards.
Yeah, because people knew we were live and they knew we were doing something, you know, not to make it this huge thing, but we were doing something fun and lively. We weren't a syndicated, piped-in show. We were happening. And if you wanted to hear a band, there was a good chance you could hear it. If you wanted to just laugh, if you wanted to hear something stupid, if you wanted to hear... You know, when Fukushima happened, we were talking to Japan.
Yeah,
you know?
That was
so
crazy.
There was all we were around.
What was crazy to me, I live like a block from the theater where they do the Million Dollar Quartet now.
Yeah.
And we had them on the overnight.
Yeah.
The original cast on the overnight. It was started. Isn't that crazy?
Right,
and
that is crazy.
Now there's these signs outside the theater and it's like final show in January. We must close. They're running 5 years or whatever. Mm. And we had the first cast on our overnight show. It was 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah, we were lucky because Bands knew that if they came in, we weren't going to limit them to 7 minutes because we were on for 6 hours. So if you wanted to stay, if you were cool and wanted to play some songs and talk, you could stay for an hour.
I attribute their entire run to our show.
I do too. I attribute a lot of people's run. You know, if you listen to Patty Vasquez's show on the actual radio, Elliot Serrano, who's on with her nonstop, we were the first show to put him on the air.
He was our boy. We'll take full responsibility for him.
Yeah, now he bailed. Now he's big time. Oh, big time in this. But so Elliot went on. A couple other people started with us. So we had a lot of fun back then. But I don't want this to be, hey, let's pat ourselves on the back for 40 minutes or however long we're in.
I just want to talk about a couple segments that we used to
go
do.
Go ahead.
I'll mention a couple because earlier on, you did a segment like Idol Chatter. You talked about American Idol.
Sure.
Which I didn't really care for. The show, not the segment. Segment was great. But when you and Christopher started talking about American Idol, my eyes are glazed over. Well, they were already glazed over.
I was going to say,
it was 5 a.m.
either eating or asleep by the time the show was over.
To be fair, it's 4:30 in the morning.
I know what time it was.
So you did that. You had to do a Survivor update. You used to do an Amazing Race update.
Yes.
So there's a lot of TV-based stuff.
Right. Because those were shows that we watched.
Right. Well, you guys did. As the show progressed, we did fewer of that.
Yeah, well, Lindsay was the Survivor person. So once Lindsay left, we stopped doing Survivor. And there was a certain point where American Idol just got boring to me, so we stopped doing Idol Chatter.
Yeah, you stopped doing it because you didn't like the show anymore.
I just hated it, so it was done. And then
Amazing Race is still one of your favorite shows.
Yeah, but the overnight show stopped. So that's why that segment stopped, because the show ended.
Although, once we went to Sunday nights, we had one of the winners of Amazing Race come in, the two winners, the guy
Cindy
and his wife.
And her husband.
And they live in Wrigleyville when I live near there, so we're neighbors pretty much. I think I saw them at the Chicago Symphony.
Did you really?
Yeah, after a open rehearsal of Carmina Burana. Why do I remember this?
I don't know. That's freaking me out.
That Bina invited me to. My friend that sings.
Who we had on the show.
We've had on the show.
A number of times.
Small Bina world.
David.
Very small world. But there's some history. I don't know. I think the listener might be a little interested in like, oh, well, we used to do TV segments? That's crazy.
Yeah. Now everybody does TV segments.
Well, then we got really violent and we did the fight.
We did have a fight. Every week we would fight other hosts and producers or fight each other. And whoever won the fight got to close out the show.
Yeah, it started as me versus you.
Right.
I was like, I want to close the show. We'll have a fight, and we played a little bit, which I used to use the clip of the guy saying, let's get ready to rumble.
Till he decided to sue everybody for it.
Yeah, I did not realize that that's super, super illegal to play anywhere.
Yeah.
And we did that for like a year.
Who was listening at 5 to 5 and on a Sunday morning?
Well, we didn't get dinged for it, but
I got
an email from management 4 months ago that specifically don't use this clip.
Oh, yeah, he's suing everybody.
That's insane.
That Michael Rooker. I think that's his name.
Wow.
Man.
Weird.
Listen.
So we'd do the fight. We would do like Around Town, Bit of Bliss, a couple other things.
Yeah, the week. Around Town was like a weekend report. The Bit of there was all sorts of things.
But the main thing we should mention is the overnight arcade.
Yes,
because that was very, very popular.
I think so. It was a lot of fun because people like to win things, and even at 2 a.m. because it was 2 o'clock Sunday morning, and it started. It started out of a thing that I did when I first came here and was just doing one night. I was partnered for 6 months with Laura Hirsch, who used to produce for Spike Odell back, way back.
And I was Spike Odell's last intern.
So it all comes around.
All comes around.
And we did a bit called Man versus Machine because we had one of those handheld trivia games, like a Super A Ball or something kind of thing. And so we did it a couple times, and then we tried some other games, and then she left. She either couldn't stand me or wanted to have babies. I don't know what it was. Maybe both.
They usually go hand in hand.
Yeah. So she left, and suddenly I was alone on Sunday morning. And so we started that, and I wanted something that was kind of a destination for people where they knew, okay, 2 o'clock, this was what was going to happen. And so we started doing a game. And we never had to worry about getting people to call.
No, especially if they were from Hammond, Indiana.
Did we have? Oh yeah.
There was one guy. There was one guy, and I know you might be listening to this, but I don't care. You know who you are. There was one guy that called in, and he would seriously back up our entire contest phone line availability.
Yeah.
And he had a very distinct voice.
Right.
This isn't like some generic voice. This is a guy with a very distinct voice. I'd pick up one and I'd be
like,
I'd like
to play the game.
Yeah, right? I'd be like, you won last week. I put him on hold. Go to line two. It's him. Put him on hold.
God.
Go to line three. It's him. I don't know how many phones this guy had. I think he had like a dozen burner phones.
He's just sitting around waiting for 2 o'clock to come so he can get a Malnati's pizza.
And I would call him out and he would violently refuse to it. He's like, I've never played before. I've never won before. And I'm like, dude, I can play you the tape of you playing last week. It is you. There is no doubt it is you. But that guy alone could have made that segment.
And I remember watching, because I, you know, as I was getting things ready on my end, I would see you on the phones because I always was panicked that you wouldn't have the callers set up when it was time to go. And I'd see you some weeks just, you know, shaking your head. And,
oh, I would yell sometimes. Yeah. I'd get so mad. I wouldn't yell. I'd hang up and then yell a bunch in my right. own, you know, room.
Your own world.
Or whatever. But the highlight or low light of all time for the Overnight Arcade was when we did a... Brian would always write the trivia.
Yes.
And you would do a theme. And 1 year for Halloween, you did Frankenstein trivia.
Right. All of October, every week in October was some sort of monster theme trivia leading up to Halloween.
Yes.
And so Frankenstein trivia was 1 week.
And that
wow
was special.
And people, and I don't remember the first time we did Frankenstein trivia, but it was so awful because in the first round, that I think was when we used to do two players for two rounds. So they would be on for the whole thing.
No,
maybe not.
I don't know. Okay. Well, maybe not.
But either way, they were getting no answers right. None.
Like
every
zero.
Question was wrong. The other person couldn't steal it. Nobody got an answer. So it reached the point of absurdity very quickly. Where these are multiple choice questions. These are not. I'm not asking you to rewrite Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. I'm just, you know, here's a question. Here's four choices. And it was so bad that people were guessing the one that the other player just got wrong.
Oh,
it was horrible. And Christopher Michael, who was our news guy at the time, he's howling, and I'm laughing because it's so bad.
It was really bad.
Just awful. The questions were fine, and when we do it in subsequent years, people would get questions right, but this night it was just so, so bad.
Yeah, no, it was intolerably, painfully.
And now, even if every once in a while we'll do an arcade on a Sunday night, or, you know, I just did one. I was in on Thanksgiving and I did one on Thanksgiving for that. And people will still bring up Frankenstein trivia. Hopefully it's not as bad as Frankenstein trivia. I'm like, that's 4 years
that's
old.
That's the
five
thing.
Years old.
The longevity of it. Like, I mean, I wouldn't bring it up or think about it, but people keep bringing it up.
Yeah.
Like the podcast about Harry Balls.
Right.
Which was like our highest rated podcast of all the time, where there was some guy in Indiana running for office.
Now they were trying to name an office building.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
For this guy, Harry Balls.
Yeah, his last name was B-A-A-L-S.
Right.
Yeah.
And
so
his first name was Harry.
It's a very, very popular
segment. See, and I should go back and listen to that because I have no recollection. I remember doing it. I remember doing a story about it and talking about it, but I don't remember. That's the beauty and the curse of me. When this is over, I won't remember what we talked about on this thing.
That's comedy, though. You're used to that, right?
I guess. I do it, and then it's gone.
All right, well...
Thankfully, you're recording this. You are recording this, aren't you?
Let's
hope. This is not just a rehearsal?
Let's hope. We don't have an engineer.
If it is, you know what? This really should be a rehearsal, but, you know, since we'll buckle down next time...
We actually did prep, and that's pretty impressive considering that we're just talking about ourselves.
Yeah, we had to prep. When were you here? I don't know. I was here this morning, and I'll be here tomorrow. Does that count? No, when did you start? I don't know.
You're always here. You're doing mornings all week and
stop.
Other stuff.
Other stuff. I'm doing a podcast now. This is so here's is this what it'll be? The podcast will be like the show, except Cody will have a bigger role. We'll talk about fun things and just have a good time, just like we do on the show. If something big and serious is happening in one of our lives, we'll talk about that. If, you know, something huge is happening in the world or in the city, we'll talk about that.
Well, if we feel like it.
Yeah. If not, we'll live in past glories.
Hey, remember when we were funny in the overnights? That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, what are you doing now? Nothing. Thinking about the overnights.
See, and this is where I wanted to start with an episode where we just, like, chat about ourselves a little bit so people have context.
Context.
Still don't really know who we are. We just talked about, like, we've been here for a while.
We've been here for a long time. What do you want to know?
But before that, you had a different career, right? Or are you not? Are you still avoiding that?
Fine.
There's still stigma.
There is a stigma. I firmly believe, and it's a stigma with some narrow-minded listeners, I think.
Yeah.
Because for a long time before I did radio, I was a stand-up. But I had done radio first because that's what I majored in college. When I first graduated from college, I worked at a couple radio stations. So I was in radio before I did stand-up. But then I did stand-up for a long time, and I did some TV work, and I lived in Los Angeles and all of that. And I moved back to Chicago for radio because Todd Manley, who's our boss now, was also the boss back then. And long story short, my wife was tired of living in California. She wanted to move back to be closer to family. I was... the road was kind of, I didn't like being on the road all the time.
It's tough.
Which is what I was doing. And I had always loved radio. And when I would go around the country, I would do interviews on morning shows. And people were always like, man, you're really good at this. You should go back into radio. And I thought, well, you know, that'd be great. And I thought at that point, well, if I get on with a morning show as like a sidekick or the funny guy, that would be kind of cool. So I went and I put together a demo with a couple people. Actually, the first one I sent out was cuts of me appearing on other people's shows. There was a show in Milwaukee and a show in Indianapolis that I really killed on every time I went down there.
Nice.
So I took some of those and I put those together and sent those out. And I happened to send one to Todd and one to a guy at The Loop in Chicago because they were doing a big morning show search.
Mm.
And so I hear from the guy at The Loop, hey, man, this is really funny, but I need something where you're the guy, where you're the main guy. So I got a studio. I knew some people who did a little cable show, so I got a studio, and I got a couple of my friends, and we went in, and we did a show, an hour-long show where I was the guy and had, you know, a sidekick, and there was a sidekick, and there was the chick, and so we did that, and I sent them to both places again, and both places brought me in to talk to me, and then then The Loop ended up hiring Jonathan Brandmeier. So I lost out to, you know, one of the greatest in the business.
Well,
that was fine. And Todd brought me in to meet the program director, who hated me.
Who was it back then?
It was Len Weiner, I believe.
I've never even heard of him.
He was not here long.
Wow.
Thankfully, he was not here long. Because I didn't realize this was a job interview. I thought I was just coming in. I was dumb. And so I come in and I meet with him and he's like, so what would be on your show today? And I'm like, huh? So he goes, well, go home and write me up what your show would be today. So he didn't like me. But he was gone literally 2 weeks later.
Wow.
And then Todd and Kurt Vandraw, who was the assistant program director at the time, they brought me in and paired me up with Laura Hirsch, and I did my first show here. It was, I don't remember the exact date in May, but it was the Sunday morning Mother's Day of that year.
Yeah.
And all I can remember is the first time I got to say the call letters, because I grew up listening to this station, so that was the coolest thing.
Yeah.
And then the rest, you know, the rest was history. I was trying out here, basically, because at first it was kind of a tryout.
Right.
And I was also doing some tryouts at WCKG down the street. So then they liked Laura and I together, and so they gave us that Saturday. At that point, it was 1 to 5 on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And we started doing that. So, yeah.
Trying out's a big thing in radio, or at least here, I've noticed.
Yeah, like a lot of tryouts.
Back when we had...
I try out every day. Every day I feel like honestly, every day I think it's an audition.
Well, good. You're supposed to.
I guess. I don't know. And then, so I did stand up, and then I ended up here. And I grew up here. I listened to this station as a kid. Mostly, you know, when I was a teenager, it wasn't always by choice, because this is what my mom and dad had on.
Sure.
There was a radio on top of the refrigerator, and they'd have that on, and it was always on in the car. So I listened to everybody on this station. And I never thought for a million years I would be here.
But you said before you don't like, because you've told me this too, you don't like talking about your stand-up background too much because you just think some people, which
here's the thing, and again, I'm not, I think you're very funny. You know that. I think a lot of people are very funny. I think some people are just inherently funny. But once you say that you were a stand-up, there's people who will only, who go, oh, he's just trying to be funny because he's a stand-up. No, I'm funny because I'm funny. And you're funny because you're funny, and you never did stand-up.
That's true.
You know, it's that's the fact of life. And there was a stigma, especially with old management and stuff, even though there's people who were very successful. There's a lot of comics who sucked who tried to do radio.
Yeah.
And they failed. Because you can be funny and you can't do radio. And there's radio guys who've tried to do stand-up and suck too. Because you can be funny on the radio and not funny on stage. And vice versa.
Yeah, same with stand-up and improv. They're right. All just different skill sets.
Completely different. Now, some people have the ability to do both. I think I'm fortunate enough to have the ability to do both. Bill Leff, who's on the station, does both. Steve Cochran does both. Patty Vasquez. Right now, there's a number of people on the staff who have stand-up backgrounds who are also solid radio people. But when I started, the old PD, he introduced me to somebody who goes, oh, yeah, he's another stand-up trying to do radio. I was like, dude.
Yeah, that's not. So trying to do radio.
Trying to do radio.
That is not condescending at all.
Not at all. And then, then there'd be listeners who just started, So I just decided, you know what? And at this point, I've been doing radio, almost as long as I was doing stand-up.
You've been doing radio 8 years?
Right.
8 years,
it'll be 10 years. 10 years here in May.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been doing radio long enough where...
Yeah.
Yeah, I did stand-up. I loved it. I got to tour the country, and I was,
You're young.
I was young, and it was fun, and it was good. And, that doesn't mean... you never like people go, well, he's only doing this because he failed at the other thing. No, a lot of people change careers and change direction, and you can still do both, and
Man, I've thought about that in the context of teachers, right? Because some people, especially at the college level, my media professor, he couldn't make it in radio or
right.
couldn't be in journalism or whatever, just want to be a teacher. Some people just don't want to do the original thing anymore.
Yeah, you could change your mind.
I've actually would really like to be a teacher. I'd like to be a college professor someday in either radio or social media or something, but that doesn't mean that it's because I failed.
Right,
or like if I wanted to be an acting teacher. I've kind of given up on my I'm not gonna move to LA.
Okay.
But I've had some, I've dabbled in acting over the years. When I first moved here, I did a lot of improv and some smaller projects and things. And for a while, I had this LA itch.
Yeah.
And it's like maybe I'll move out there.
That was part of the reason you left the first time because you were thinking about moving to LA.
That was part of it. Yeah, yeah. And then I considered it seriously one other time, but since then it's just kind of gone away because I've just learned enough about the business. I'm not into this. It's whatever. So if I decide to be a teacher someday or teach acting or do whatever, it's not because I failed. It's because I decided. This really isn't for me.
Well, one thing that you've taught me, and I still don't subscribe to it all the time, is you can't listen to what people post. You can't listen to what some of the listeners say. You can't listen to what some of the message boards or the comment sections or because there's always going to be, as the kids like to say, Cody, haters going to hate. Haters gonna hate.
So you and I both feel really good when we get positive feedback.
Right.
Right? Like it's
sure,
very,
who doesn't?
It was very humbling and things like
I
that.
I don't care if you're an accountant. If somebody goes, man, you saved me a lot of money. You did a great job. You're gonna feel good about yourself.
Of course, right? And then when sometimes somebody will say something bad and then we don't like that. Do you think that if we had less of a response or less of a reaction to the good stuff, or the bad stuff, we'd also have less of a reaction overall?
Yes, I think you have to just... And I say this knowing that I have not reached enlightenment yet. I have not snatched the stone from the Kung Fu master's hand of learning to balance the not believing the good, not believing the bad, and just believing that what you're doing is the right thing and you're doing a good job. And even like the last two mornings, going down before I get on the elevator to do the morning show, I've been doing a little affirmation, just to get my mind right.
But don't you think that if you stopped caring so much about the negative stuff, then you'd lose a little bit of that appreciating the positive?
Yeah, I think if you completely ignore the negative, you're delusional, because then I would say 99% of the stuff that comes in via text and via comments is, and especially on message boards and stuff, it's crap.
Yeah.
And I could say crap because that's still within, I would say.
It's not a swear.
I'd say that downstairs.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I want to say a swear.
Ooh.
But, you know, the good stuff is, listen, the good stuff is great. Some of the negatives you can go, you blow it off. But every once in a while there's a kernel of truth somewhere. Or it taps into something that maybe you felt anyway. You know, if you're like, oh man, this segment's going down the toilet. And somebody texted, this blows. You're like, yeah, I know. I'm trying to get out of it. Shut up. You can't dwell on that. And you're the one who told me not to read, you know, message boards.
Certain message boards.
But I do still occasionally, and it's, you know.
It is hard to stop.
Yeah, well, you want to know because you want to know what's going on with other things, and you want to kind of keep a pulse. I don't think you can operate in a bubble, especially in this day and age with technology the way it is. We're so accessible during the show between the phone and the text and the, our social media channels, and people can watch us now on the stream, and now we got the digital stuff. It's crazy.
Can people see us right now? There's cameras in here.
No, they can't see us right now. But they can watch us on Sunday nights.
That's
from
true.
6 to 9. If we're ever back.
If we're ever back.
We'll be back in February because the Blackhawks schedule switches up again. So
sure,
we'll be back in February.
Unless they add some games to Sundays.
Or unless something else happens. Who knows?
Well, this is like our winter break. This has been a newer thing for us.
Yeah, it'll be fun for, from now and through January. We'll do, we'll see how it goes after that. Then we'll be back on the regular show.
Right.
But
well,
who knows?
Before, because listeners ask this all, we used to ask this all the time.
Yeah.
They don't as much anymore. But before, but just to wrap up the who are you?
Yes,
with Brian Noonan discussion. So you don't do stand up still because you don't feel like it,
right? I haven't really had time because comedy clubs are mostly weekend ventures, and our show was a weekend venture, so. I couldn't do it then. Then I was doing sports night for 3 years. So I was working during the week at night and on the weekends at night.
Was it 3 years?
Mm-hmm. We did sports night for 3 years.
You worked pretty much 7 days a week for like 3 years. I mean, summers were light because of the Cubs.
Yeah,
but...
we'd get Hawks games and Cubs games off. So there were a lot of, but theoretically I was scheduled those nights. So yeah, there were a lot of times off. But so there was no time to do stand-up. In the last couple of years, I've done it a few times. And I realized how much I missed it, but I also realized I was rusty. So, I've been writing some stuff and again, you never know what will play out. Like tomorrow night or Thursday night, I'm emceeing a big charity event. So I'll be funny there. I've done things like that. I still love doing it. It's just finding the time. If they had stand up that was like middle of the day when I have some free time, that'd be great. Go into a lunch, maybe for the elderly, see if I can make them laugh over their cream spinach.
I feel like, so I also love performing live.
Yeah, you've done a lot of improv. You still do some improv.
I still do some. Well, I'm kind of unofficially part of a sketch group, perform a few times a year, and always with scripted stuff, hence sketch. but when I perform with them, I'll get an email a couple months ahead of time. Here's the date. Would you like to come do it? And part of the amount of preparation it takes to get there is becoming, as I become busier and busier as an adult,
right.
And I have a radio show on WGN, and I do a video game podcast on WGN Plus. Like, I've got these other outlets, and I don't necessarily need it as much.
Right.
It becomes, do you get that with stand-up, too?
Yeah, I don't, it takes, to be good at anything, it takes a lot of time. I know people sometimes think that we just roll in and don't. We spend a lot of time getting ready for the show.
You spend a lot of time getting ready for the show. I spend a half hour writing on the whiteboard,
right.
A half an hour to 45 minutes eating free pizza that Roger brings in.
That's true.
Or Lou Malnati's or Gino's.
Gino's
or
East.
Whichever, deep dish pizza we've got left over from the game that day.
Right.
And cheesecake that's 3 to 4 weeks old.
Yeah, you had some of that tonight. That was a bad move.
Probably. I'll be feeling that one later. So, but you do a lot of prep for the shows.
Well, but it goes to your point. If you want to be good at it, it takes work. If you want to be good at your sketches, it takes work. If you want to be good at stand-up, it takes work. When I was first doing stand-up, I was at open mics. Some nights I would do 2 or 3 open mics in a night.
Whoa.
And I would travel from Rosemont to Merrillville, Indiana, and to Lyons, Illinois. I was doing open mics 3-4 nights a week, 2 or 3 shows a night. just constantly working. And then on the road, I was doing, you know, depending on the week, I was doing 8 to 10 shows a week. So you're doing it all the time, and it's a huge commitment. And the people who are really good at it work at it all the time. And so I don't have time to be that good at it. I do love this. This was my radio was my first thing. There were before stand up, before I thought of doing TV, before I wanted to do anything, I wanted to do radio.
Even but you don't hunger for the live crowd since it's so different?
No, I do. Like I said, when I did it the last few times, I realized how much I do enjoy that and how much I missed it, but it's not I get enough of that with this.
Sure. You know? Yes.
If I wanted to do it, I could work on it and do it again. And people ask, and I know I'll do it again. I don't know when. It's a mystery.
Me neither.
You never know.
I keep telling myself I'll do some things too, but then not doing them. Actually, my agent contacted me, or
really?
I'm with
your Asian.
My agent.
Oh, I thought you had an Asian. My Asian, you know. Really? You have an Asian? Yep.
Is that the name of our podcast?
I don't know. Wait, yeah, we got an Asian.
Brian
and Cody have an Asian. It doesn't make any sense. What?
It doesn't have to mean a person. It could mean a food. Like, we have a, I don't know.
Get it. Yeah, I don't know.
Sweet and sour
chicken?
But anyway,
chicken? So your agent called you.
I would love some sweet and sour chicken right now.
Did you? See, I ate early because I got to go to bed.
My favorite thing on my radio show in college was when I used to have quote-unquote contests. I give away free movie tickets that we got sent to us if somebody would go to the dining hall and pick me up food and bring it to the studio.
Is that right?
Oh, every week.
How'd that work out?
For weeks.
Did they do it?
Two or three times it happened. It was usually my roommate. But to be fair, at least he was listening to know that.
Yes, somebody's listening.
So we need to start doing that.
More contests?
Well, we have nothing to give away, but we should still try to get more.
We can get some prizes. We'll figure something out.
Figure something out.
And as the podcast goes on, we've been told that we can maybe figure out ways to get listeners involved in the podcast and whatnot. We might tell you when we're going to do it, and you can tweet at us.
Although this is the longest you've gone recording in Tribune Tower without getting vitriolic texts.
That's true.
So there's one perk to not being able to talk to the listeners, whom we love.
I do love the listeners. And the two or three that break bad on us, you know, fine. If you're still listening.
There's
the secret.
It's true. You win. You're the winner.
Yeah, you're still listening. And we have your phone number. Just remember that when you text it. We have your phone number. So
I've never done anything questionable with those phone numbers.
Nor have I, but I have witnessed another host call someone from the text line.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Called them after a series of exceptionally nasty anti-Semitic texts.
Oh, wow.
And called that person.
Well, good for that host.
Yeah. So
that's a little excessive.
Excessive on both ends.
Wow. I don't even think that we have a comment section on WGM Plus, so we don't have to worry about
good.
Any.
I never read it. Yeah. I probably won't listen. So that...
You'd be like the co-host of a video game podcast who's
right.
never heard an episode of our video game podcast.
I've never heard our show.
Have you?
No, I've heard the show.
You have tapes.
I like the show sometimes.
You listen to Out of Context. That's part of the show.
Yeah, Out of Context was another bit that that you left off our list.
So that was the thing. So we used to get at the end of a 6-hour show, and Brian, we used to do a lot of voices.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if it was some kind of multiple personality disorder or what it was, but we called them the puppets. Brian did several, like Emperor Fenahito,
yes.
The Emperor of...
The Asian Carp.
Right. That's what we have. We have an Asian Carp.
An Asian Carp.
We should just call the podcast Asian Carp.
That's true. We could do that.
With Brian and Cody.
That's when Asian Carp were in the news. They were big, big news. They were jumping up and slapping people in the face.
It was violent.
It was horrible.
But so he'd get to the end of a 6-hour show, and he'd say something, just and I would just take it totally out of context. I borrowed the idea from seeing on The Late Show with David Letterman. He did some bit that was like, and now a word from Sarah Palin. And it would show like her saying three words at a speech.
Yeah.
And that would be it. And then it would just be like, that was a word with Sarah Palin. But in the middle, you know, she'd be saying something like, I can fly. And that'd be it.
Right.
So I'm like, well, Brian says so many things like that. And so I started running a tape. Running a reel-to-reel in my...
cranking it.
I used to run a digital recording. And by the end of the show, I'd have sometimes 12 or 15 ridiculous quotes, and then I'd package them all up and play a couple at the end of the show. So that's but that kind of went the wayside because of our shorter show.
A lot shorter.
And technology, because do we upgrade our computers every week here?
I don't know what they do. I know that every time I come in and log on, I have to redo everything. So I guess they update everything.
Everything is erased.
Yeah.
Like on a weekly basis at this station.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of gems gone by the wayside. A lot of gems.
There really are, actually. Probably. So, but that was a big thing that we used to do. I don't remember how that came up.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter. Well, to what I said was talking about 5 minutes ago. My agent.
Yes, your agent.
I'm represented by three agencies that send me out to commercial auditions. I've only ever booked and shot one commercial, which was never aired or edited. I've never seen footage from it. Very upset about that.
Okay.
I shot a commercial for Kentucky Lottery with one of the original writers of SNL, was the director.
Oh, my God.
He worked with John Belushi and Bill Murray, and he had Emmys from directing those guys back in the 70s. Yeah. And he really liked me, and we got along great, and it was awesome, and it was super cool, and we did this thing, and then nothing. It was done. And I contacted the production agency, and they never sent me footage.
Nah.
All I have are some pictures on my camera that I will eventually put on my Facebook page.
Nice.
But this was 3 years ago. So anyway, I got an email the other day from a new employee at one of my agencies, and she was like, hey, I'm replacing your old agent. I would like to actually meet you because I'm sending you places. I should probably meet you.
That would be nice.
And we talked a bit, and she seems like a real go-getter. And
these kids today, their go-getterness.
Yeah, mentioned pilot season. Which I've never heard anybody mention in Chicago.
Yeah. I don't even think there technically is a pilot season anymore because pilots shoot all the time. But I know what you mean.
Yeah, because traditionally in February,
right.
That's the big month where people will flock to L.A.
Right.
and try to audition for
as
many.
They all think they're going to become stars.
Yeah, and your pilot could be like the Chandler show, which lasted.
Right.
Well, it didn't. Or it could be Lost.
Sure.
And then he got 7 seasons of guaranteed pay and he can pretty much retire.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like acting is like playing the lottery.
Acting is, any sort of show business is just fraught with rejection and gamble, and it's 99.9% rejection, and then every once in a while you get lucky, like you said, with the lottery. And there's a lot of really, really talented people who never get to hit the lottery, you know? So it's, yeah, you're rolling the dice every day.
Yeah, so that's why I'm not as into it anymore. But it was nice to get a reach out and,
that's cool.
A little reminder like, oh, yeah, hey, you can still do this if you want.
Right.
So
that's a nice thing about here. There's a lot of production going on in Chicago. There's a lot of commercials. There's TV shows that are shooting here. There's all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I had Gabrielle Sidibe in my car not too long ago.
I don't know who that is.
She's Precious, that movie Precious. She won an Oscar, I think.
Wait, she was the main character?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But now she's on a show, Empire. Because for about 2 months, I was driving for Uber.
Yeah.
I never said anything on the air because I was ashamed. she got in my car.
Wow.
So there's a lot of production going on here.
Yeah, I know. More TV shows and stuff, but that's all I got.
So that's us. That's who we are. If you would listen to the show, you know who we are. If you have any other questions, you can always get a hold of us on Facebook at Brian Noonan Show, or what's your Facebook page?
I don't know.
Do Brian Noonan Show, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's Twitter, too. You can send us messages there. You can send us messages at WGN. You know how to get a hold
of us. I'm at Producer Cody on Twitter.
All right.
But actually, if you're listening to this podcast, and if you've gone to WGN+, since I'm the publisher of the episode, I think you can just click on my name to get to my contact info.
There you go.
I think.
Yeah. And just listen, if you want to talk to me, go through Cody. That's how it works.
I mean, frankly.
That's how it should be.
Yeah.
So we'll try to come up with a name for this. We'll be doing this at least through January to see how it goes. So spread the word. Tell people we'll get on you. But if you miss the Sunday night shows, then come and listen here for tonight's long. I don't know if they'll all be this long.
No, we've actually only been recording for about 45 minutes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I know,
No, I thought you said we were supposed to keep them short.
Well, first one's a big one.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with it.
We can keep them short, maybe make it a two-parter, just milk it so we don't have to come in next week.
No, because next week's going to be, we're getting close to the holidays.
We got to do holiday stuff.
A few holiday things.
Got to talk topical and stuff like that.
We can do some things, get some meat in there, find the fulcrum, flip things around. We'll be making some We'll explain things as we go. We don't want to be too inside, but there's certain things that we'll talk about, and then we'll break off and explain why.
I have no idea what you were just talking about.
It's talking about, again, old management and their philosophy on how programs should be.
Oh, meat and potatoes.
Got to have meat and potatoes and a fulcrum for the, you know, we got to get people angry on one side, people angry on the other, and we find the fulcrum, and we flip them over. Yeah, see? That was what I did radio in the 40s.
That's good. I remember that.
That was a lot of fun.
I got to find an air check from that. Well, yeah, I hope you don't mind. I think I probably told you 20 minutes at some point, which I'm sure I did.
Yeah, because that was your thing. Oh, we got to keep it short. Because I thought, we're not going to do 3 hours like we do on the show. And you said, no, we got to keep them short.
I walked in tonight thinking, oh, we'll probably do about an hour. I don't know why.
That's fine.
But then never communicated with that with you, which just...
Which goes with everything else that has
It's pretty typical. Everything that's transpired between us for years at this point.
Yes. But that's I think, why it has worked so well, and hopefully it'll continue to work. And I don't know how much... Here's the thing. When I talk about myself like we've been doing now, I get very uncomfortable. I'll tell stories about what happens to me, but I'm always afraid that, you know, let me tell you my philosophy on comedy. Let me tell you my philosophy. Really? Shut up. You know, that's because in my head, I hear the cranky listener going, we don't want to hear this. You should just close your mouth.
That's why I wanted to do it here on this podcast, because you don't get to talk about this stuff on the air.
No.
This is stuff that, like, I've been with you like 7 years or whatever, how I can't count, but right. 7 years and you don't talk about this stuff on the air for various reasons. You don't want to come
off
a certain
way. Which is
weird
because I do talk about, and you do too, we talk about pretty much everything. Our lives are fairly open books on the show. But yeah, I never like to seem like I'm bragging about things, you know, because I don't think this is a really cool job.
Yeah.
And I'm damn lucky to have it, and I love it, but that doesn't make me super cool, you know? I was born super cool.
You're super cool because you work with me.
Well, that's all right. Let's not argue on our first podcast.
Let's not go back to
the beginning when everybody thought I was mean to you. Why are you so mean to Cody? All the messages and the we didn't have text back then. That was when people actually had to call and tell us
That's true.
There was no text. There was no, when we started, there was no social media. Doesn't it seem so weird that, like, when the show started, before you came on, we didn't have Twitter and Facebook?
We didn't have Twitter?
No, or we weren't using it. It wasn't a thing at the station before, you know, Christy and I set up the first fan club page on Facebook, and I think you started with the Twitter. Who are you looking at?
I don't know. There's somebody in there. He probably needs to get in here.
Really?
But who knows? I don't know who uses these studios.
The hockey game's on.
I just kind of walk around and assume that that we can use the facilities.
And we can. I don't know if they know who. I'm a major market radio.
You are a major market radio.
I am a major market radio.
Well, I hope you don't mind me pushing you for some additional.
Is there anything else you need to know?
Not about you.
People know. Right.
I know plenty about you.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
Everybody knows plenty about me. What do you want to tell us about you? We know you're from Rockford, Illinois, one of the most dangerous cities in America.
It's true.
We know you went to Drake University, which you're very proud of. You were prom king in high school, which you won't let go of. You ran cross country in high school, which you won't let go of.
No. Cross country worked out really well. I was in Rockford for Thanksgiving, and I did the turkey trot.
Right.
Did I tell you this? I was cleaning out my closet.
Oh, no.
So I was cleaning out my closet. My mom wanted to...
Wait, you were in the closet?
No, not the whole trot. But I was at home... My mom wanted me to clean out all the stuff from my old bedroom because I still have some stuff in my parents' house.
Okay.
10 years after high school or whatever.
Right.
It happens.
So I think I still have stuff at my mom's house.
Really?
And I've been out of high school for a long time.
Okay, all right, good to know. So the last thing in my closet I grabbed was a shoebox. I don't know what's in this.
Shoes?
So I open it up, believe it or not, shoes. But not only shoes, they were my spikes from cross country.
Oh my.
From senior year. And I was about to run a turkey trot, and the only shoes I had with me were my New Balance walking shoes. So I was not prepared for this trot.
You did not put on your spikes.
Oh, I put on my spikes. I put on my spikes. They fit me perfectly. I had not worn them, I calculated, in 12 years.
Okay.
To fit me like a glove. And that day it rained, and there was mud, and it was a 5K through treacherous conditions, and the spikes were the best thing that happened.
You were
to me.
The only guy with spikes.
Probably.
So you won the turkey trot.
Nope.
Oh.
Didn't happen.
That would have been the great end of that story.
But I finished it in like 35 minutes.
That's not bad.
So that's not.
And you got your. And so did you bring the spikes back to Chicago? Will we see you running along the lake?
No,
on
they're
the
at
beach
home.
With,
you they're
left,
in
still, you left them at your mom's house still?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Listen, they're muddy now. I'm not taking them in the car with me. What are you, crazy?
Perfect logic in my mind.
Yeah. Why would you do that?
Well, that's it. If people want to know more about me, I've got my video game podcast. I talk about that stuff.
Do that, yeah.
But during,
well, listen.
My day job, just for a little background, yeah, is social
background.
Media. Social media. I fell into this career somehow. I got this job at a startup where I was doing everything from writing copy to hosting cooking shows
right.
for Kenmore, which was weird that that happened. That just happened to happen. Then I got laid off because they were small and they're probably going out of business soon.
Yeah.
This little marketing agency got a job at another agency. I had like 10 resumes. One of them is like, oh, I can do search engine stuff. One of them is I can do presenting and stuff. Like one of them is I can do social media. The social media resume ended up panning out. I got right. a job, learned more about it. Because at a startup, you do everything.
Yeah.
You do 35
Just
different
like
jobs.
Just like at a small radio station, you do everything.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I could do anything I wanted to. So that's what I ended up doing. And now I work at a big global marketing consulting firm, corporation, doing wow. social media. So that's my week job or whatever. But it'd be nice to do more of the WGN stuff. It's
right.
just there's been so many changes over the years. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I've just kind of stuck with Brian because a lot of people didn't even know you existed.
That
you
was
know.
Thankfully because we have weathered a lot of management changes.
You've
and
been
we
through
have seen,
four.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of people get the hatchet.
Yeah.
And because we were down, we're low on the food chain, let's be honest.
Yeah.
We got, you know, I had the weekend overnight show. That was not, when new people come in, that's not where they focus their attention. And thankfully, one of the previous regimes that pretty much gutted the place was gone just before they were working their way through, they had worked their way through the weekdays, they were starting to work on the weekends, and they were just about to get to the overnights when they got tossed.
Yeah.
So we were spared because the word after, what filtered down to me afterwards was we were about 2 weeks away from getting fired.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What, syndication?
Yeah, to just an overnight, syndicated show because, and it was going to be, it would have been right before the holidays, but thankfully, that actually, that was right about the time that I started doing Sports Night.
Yeah, I remember that.
And in 24 hours, my fortunes changed here. I went from being on the bubble and not even knowing it, to doing my weekend show and then getting Sports Night.
Yeah.
We've seen them come and go.
That's showbiz. You've seen them come and go. They used to ask for you to, they'd quote unquote give you a night off.
Right.
To try out a new host, which we talked about earlier. I have worked with some people, let me tell you.
Yeah, because it's funny. They would, even though I think that shift, and it doesn't matter whether it's the weekend or like Nick's doing it now, Patty's kind of in the overnight. But Dave Plyer does one of our old spots, and Matt Bubala does one of our old spots on the radio station, and that's a hard shift. But it was funny because they'd just toss people in like, oh yeah, it's overnight, you can do whatever you want. And overnight is a good place to explore, but not if you've never done anything before.
And they brought in some weirdos.
Yeah,
I produced some people's first radio show ever. They brought in this like ex Illinois politician who I believe was a convicted felon, actually.
Yes.
And I produced his first radio show he had ever done ever.
Yeah.
What? Right. What are you doing?
Yeah, and he did one, and they told him, well, if you could do that, you could do any. And then proved out because he got a nice primetime spot for a short amount
it's
of time.
It's so weird. There was some weird stuff that went down. But yeah, we survived.
We've survived. We're still here.
It's wonderful.
And now we're doing a podcast.
And I'm making it go too long because I started talking about me and then
No, we wanted people. Listen, we're both here. We might as well let people know. You wanted to do the getting to know you. Let people get to know us.
We did the get to know us. And plus,
right, so you know us now.
Well, let's hope so.
If you don't know us by now, enjoy the fact that we're enigmatic and just relax and let there be some mystery in your life. Like the old Playboy. Like early Playboy, when they kind of were naked, but they were partially covered up. A little bit of mystery. You don't need to know everything. You don't need to see all our goodies. You just know that they're there.
Were they partially covered up?
Mm-hmm. back in the early Playboys.
I will say I found an old, I don't know why, on my bookcase 2 days ago, just cleaning out stuff. I found an old Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Oh, hello.
From like 2011 or 2012.
Goodness. Okay.
Man, yeah. It was, I almost didn't throw it out. And I'm like, I don't need this.
Let me just tuck this up behind the dragon. Cody has a giant dragon hanging in his apartment.
I do have a giant
dragon.
Giant dragon.
Who is now wearing a Santa hat.
Of course.
Festive.
Very
I like
festive.
It.
With a 10-foot tall Christmas tree.
It's a giant tree.
It's literally 10 feet tall.
Yeah.
It scrapes the ceiling.
It's well, listen, that's what you and the lady need. Get in all in the Norman Rockwell-y mood. Are we not supposed to say you have a lady?
No, that's fine. Right. She'll probably listen to this.
I don't know.
Because I'll make her.
Of course. We got to get some clicks. It's all about the clicks.
We got to get at least
now,
one.
Now, wait, can
hit.
We talk about clicks? Because on the radio, we're not supposed to talk about ratings. So we're not supposed to talk about clicks?
I don't know if we can talk about clicks.
I just want people to listen. That's all. I don't know all the, I don't know the numbers. I don't know that. I don't care about the data side of it. We're going to do something, hopefully, that's entertaining. We want you to listen to it. That's all. We're not, you know.
You could pull a YouTube and be like, subscribe, and share this, please, and comment, and share with your friends, and .com.
People know what to do. If you like it, tell somebody. If you don't like it, shut the hell up. Keep it to yourself.
Whoa.
That's right. There, that's edgy.
Is that the name of the podcast? Shut the hell up?
Shut the hell up and keep it to yourself.
We do need an actual name for this.
All right. Should we?
I don't actually know what to call it.
Well, Do we need to come up with a name now?
I don't think we do right this second. I do kind of like Audio Thunderdome.
Audio Thunderdome is good.
But quite frankly, if the listener is listening to this podcast, they will have found us somehow anyway.
I also like the unnamed Brian and Cody podcast.
I kind of like that.
Which is, you know.
I like for it to be a little shorter just because on the menu bar or the navigation,
right.
We don't want to like hoard the real estate.
Shut up. That would be it.
Just
shut up.
Shut up Dome.
Audio Thunderdome is good.
Audio like Thunderdome?
Audio Thunderdome.
All right, I'm fine with Audio Thunderdome.
Or Digital Dojo.
But then do we start fighting to the death at the end of the episodes? Or?
I hope not.
All right, well.
Because it'd be short. You'd be dead, and then I got to do this myself. I got to figure out where to plug the flash drive in and what to hit. And,
dude, I've got a dragon, man.
Not here.
Well,
I'm not going to travel to your place to fight.
It can fly fast.
Really?
Maybe.
All right, Khaleesi.
There's only one way to find out, and that's by throwing it out my
window.
If you
summon your dragon, and I see it coming past down Michigan Avenue here into the 7th floor studio, then I will respect your skills as a dragon tamer.
Okay, that's fair.
Is that what
fair.
They call them? Dragon tamers?
Dragon tender? Dragon whisperer, I prefer.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Dragon rider.
I whisper loudly so it can hear me over the roaring and fire. But...
And the tree falling down in your apartment.
Well,
the
yeah.
Timber, all the lumberjacks in there firing up their chainsaws to cut up the wood to take it to the kiln to dry it out for firewood.
Man, I hope it doesn't fall over.
I do too.
It's really tall.
You should wire it to the wall.
Nah.
All right.
I like to live dangerously.
We're doing that this year. We're living dangerously with the one in the living room. We can talk about holiday stuff next episode.
We can do that next episode.
Next
yeah,
episode, we'll get into all the holiday stuff because, as you know, it's always holidays are always a treat for you and for us. And we'll let you know when these should be posted every Wednesday. That's the plan, correct?
Love it,
we'll
yeah.
record them on Monday or Tuesday. We'll post them on Wednesday. So every Wednesday, you will get a little ear treat.
Yeah.
We'll be all up in your head.
And it's tricky to end podcasts since we don't have a hard stop that we have to work against.
Right.
Because we could just talk all night. But it's 7:59 and 50 seconds, so we could pretend that we only have 7 seconds
left. Let's do that and say thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again next week, right?
Ish.
And yeah, and we'll get a name or not.
Okay.
There, I'm finally on time. I'm never on time in the radio show, but I was on time for the podcast. Is Rick Hogan next? Oh, wait, no, that's Sunday.
It's Sunday.
Here's the news with Roger Badish.